So colleagues from COMESA, welcome to this regional webinar for the COMESA countries. And so today is the opportunity to, we will focus on three things. So first, we will review live, actually. I will share my screen and then we can have a look at the actual website. The registration from COMESA members, including allocation of access rights. And then very quickly, we'll move to the actual project submitted across the four regions. And then have some discussions if need be about, not too focused discussion on the actual project, but on the roles, actually, the project owners, who can submit, who validates, etc. And then actually the key focus of today would be to look at the new projects. Okay, what are the other projects that are in the pipeline that members propose to submit and the REC to validate? So this discussion, we want to facilitate this discussion. And then so that we make sure that by the end of June, 30th of June, which is the deadline, we have at least a good number of projects from COMESA. COMESA, as I said, has members across four regions, except the Western region. There are members across in the other regions, but essentially Southern and Eastern. So in these regions, the quota of 10 for the shortlist is for the region. So in the Eastern region, that 10 projects will be shared, I would say, shared by the three RECs. In Southern, same thing, by SADC and COMESA. And in the northern region by AMU and COMESA. So I think I'll stop here and as an introduction, and maybe we listen to the director. Over to you.
Yeah. Good morning, Dr. Krishna. Good morning, all participants. My name is Jean-Baptiste Mutabazi. I'm Director of Infrastructure and Logistics in COMESA. I don't think that I have a specific word to tell because you have given the agenda, but I just want to remind all participants from COMESA member state that we have also just to try to move, to speed up the submission of projects. We have sent also a letter to all COMESA member state, just reminding them the deadline of 30 June, which is the deadline for submitting projects. Up to now, I think I was consulting the project already submitted on COMESA. We have only just validated one, which is of VicMed. But there are also other projects. I don't know if member states have already submitted. And if you have been able to interact, probably on our side, you have not interacted too much on this project. But once we are seeing that time is moving fast, we said it would be better to remind member states that the deadline needs to be done. So I don't have any specific on the agenda. I just want to wish every participant just to listen to you and probably assist them, because we have given them, either the member state can provide these projects directly, I think, which is provided in the guidelines, or should they wish to submit them through COMESA Secretariat, also we are willing to do that. So from on that point, I wish really to participate just good interactions, and over to you, Krishna.
Okay, thank you, Director. So what I will do, I will share my screen. We will have a look at the actual website. So can you see the homepage now?
Hello, Krishna.
Yes.
Could we have a round of introductions?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do this. So I'm the Krishna Hiraman from the AUC, PIDA coordinator. And I'm here to assist you in this process. Maybe we move to the other person. So I'm sharing my screen so I can't see the list. So maybe Shali, you can guide us through the participants.
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. I'm Abdurrahman Boob from Audi Nepal. I'm a task force member.
Gilbert?
From which country? Is it possible to know the country which are participating?
I'm from Southern Africa, working for Audi Nepal.
Thank you, Abdul. Next, we have Gilbert Nadi.
Gilbert Addy, I'm the team leader of the EU-funded technical assistance to the AU Infrastructure Support Mechanism, ordinarily based in Addis Ababa.
Thank you, Gilbert. Next, we have Malama.
Good afternoon. My name is Malama, energy economist at COMESA.
Thank you. Next, we have Gilbert.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Gilbert Maeti. I am the short-term expert responsible for the transport sector from the consulting firm.
Thank you, Gilbert. Next, we have Abdel Ahmed Fouad. Hello, Ahmed, can you hear me? All right, let's move on to Ahmed Abed.
Hello, can you
hear
me?
Your mic is muted. Yes.
This is Gulet Mohammed from Djibouti, Ministry of Energy.
Thank you, Mohammed. Next, we have Atef. Hello, Atef, can you hear me? All right, let's move to Imani Khalili. Iman? All right, I think you can hear me. Let's move to Alfred Biringiro. Sorry about that. Alfred, can you hear me? Your mic is muted, Alfred. Okay, let's move to Jean Batista Mutabazi.
I think I have already spoken just now. I am Director of Infrastructure and Logistics in COMESA. I'm attending just now.
Thank you, Director.
Hello, Alfred, I'm back.
I will definitely butcher your name, Kumbulani. Yes, Alfred.
Yes, good afternoon, according to local time. I'm Alfred Diringiro, the Transport Division Manager in the Ministry of Infrastructure, Gwanda. Thank you.
Thank you, Alfred. Kumbulani? Hello? Hello? Who is this?
Kumbulani Kumbulani from the Ministry of Infrastructure. Hello?
Hello, yes, Kumlani.
Yeah, this is Kumlani Kumalon from the Eswatini, Minister of ICT.
Thank you. Next, we have.
Please.
Lushola.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Lushola from the African Union Commission in the Department of Rural Economy and Agriculture. And. Working on transparent waters. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Olushola. Next, we have Mervin Azeta.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mervin Azeta from the ANWIN. Pleased to be here and looking forward to a nice conversation.
Thank you, Mervin. Next, we have Sampa.
Good afternoon. My name is Emmanuel Samba from the Ministry of Transport and Communication, Zambia. I'm also the PIDA focal person. Thank you.
Thank you, Sampa. Next, we have Tahani Silit.
Yes, hello. My name is Tahani Silit, of the head of Central Department for External Cooperation, and I'm the PIDA focal point, Ministry of Water Resources and Irrigation, Egypt. Hello.
Hello, thank you. Next, we have Feriwot, Minister Feriwot. From Ethiopia. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes. Thank you. My name is Freya Toldahana, State Minister for Energy at Ministry of Water Irrigation and Energy Ethiopia and focal person for PIDA projects.
Thank you, Minister. Next, we have Yoni.
Hello, I'm Jonas Michael from DT Global. I'm a consultant to AUC EU and a capacity of water expert. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Yoni. Next, I think we have Engeda Negash.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Engeda Negash. I am an energy expert with DT Global. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Engeda. I think that's all, colleagues. Thank you very much. And my name is Shali, and I'm a consultant with JZ PIDA. Over to you, Krishna.
Did we miss somebody?
Anyway. Krishna, I haven't introduced myself.
Maybe we were calling you. You were trying to call you earlier. Okay, go on, Adil.
Yes, I'm Adil Gandhi. I'm General Manager for International Relations and Strategic Planning from Egypt, Ministry of Tourism, and the focal point for tourism sector. Thank you, Krishna.
Okay, thank you, Adele. Okay, so...
Krishna, before you start, can I come
yes.
in?
Yes, come in, please, go on.
I just want to know if you have all focal points in all COMESA member states. Because when I look on the list I was hearing, I don't think that we have even 10 countries are present here.
Okay, on my side, starting with COMESA, there are four REC focal points. So there's yourself, there's Malama, who is here. We have Bernard Dwawanda, maybe he's not yet with us today. And then Leonard Chintundu, who is also, I haven't seen. So I think at least we have two people from COMESA. But from, let's take the regions. I think we have quite a few people. We have a good participation from Egypt, northern region. There's also Tunisia. Anybody from Tunisia and Libya? Probably not. Okay, so for the northern region, it's just Egypt. The eastern region, we have Ethiopia is here. Who else? Anybody else from eastern region? From Kenya, Tanzania, and all that. So, sorry?
Rwanda.
Okay, yeah, perfect. So, Ethiopia, Rwanda, and I guess everybody else is from the southern region. So, I think with this, although I guess it's not representative, it would have been best, I agree with you, Director, it would have been best if we had all the countries, but, we invited everybody, all the members of COMESA. But I guess, we have Djibouti actually. There was somebody from Djibouti earlier. I don't know whether he's still on, but he was connected at one point. So maybe let's start. That will help us also to, go on.
I was just wondering if in each country of COMESA you have already focal person.
So that was the question. Okay. Sorry, I didn't capture. I think COMESA. Yes, in the case of COMESA, I'm looking for my list. We do have focal persons. in our database. Whether they are registered on the website is a different thing. But yes, I guess so. Let me run through this list. So yeah, we have DRCs there. We have Burundi is well represented. Uganda is there, Tanzania, Sudan, Somalia, yes. Seychelles is there, Mauritius is there, Madagascar, Kenya, Ethiopia. So the only country where we don't have focal points is Eritrea, I think.
Okay.
Egypt is
there. And they were inviting now can they didn't only reply.
No, actually we don't have any name from Eritrea for a focal point. We never managed to although we sent reminder letters and through the embassies and all that, we haven't to date got a reply from Eritrea.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Okay. So colleagues, I will share my screen. Okay, so we have somebody from Comoro joining now. Ben Omar is joining from Comoro. Welcome, Ben. Hello, Dr. Ben Omar. Anyway, let us start. So this is the web. I run very quickly through the website also for members who either are not yet registered. So what we will do actually, we will take this opportunity for any of you who are not yet registered on the website, Shiley is going to post the link on the chat box. And I will also, before the end, I will upload the guidelines so you can go on and register. It takes 5 minutes. Then we will give you some access rights. So with these access rights, I will explain what are these rights, the three levels of access, and depending on what you want to do. So the website is in English and French. So this is the English. For French, just click French up here. Then you will see here, and so on the homepage, you will see these two public documents. These are the basic documents of PIDA, which are available in English and French. So you click here, you can download the strategic note and the analytical note, which is a longer version of it. It's the reference documents. Many of the questions you have are answers already somewhere there. Then you have these FAQs here, which are also public, which are categorized in 5 sections. And these also provide a lot of explanation of details about the projects. Then you have this guideline here, the project submission guideline, which you can download here, English, French. It's translated in Arabic, in Portuguese also now, for if you have any Portuguese members. So now the download section here includes here, you will see the same documents we mentioned, plus, go on.
Vous m'entendez?
Oui, je vous entends. Allez-y.
Ok, c'est Ben Omar de Comoro.
Ah, merci, c'est ça. J'ai essayé de vous contacter. Donc, merci pour l'introduction.
J'avais problème de micro, maintenant je crois que c'est tout est.
D'accord, mais je suppose vous comprenez l'anglais un peu. S'il y a des soucis, n'hésitez pas, mettez un message dans le box ou posez votre question en français, c'est pas de souci.
Ok. Allez, comprends un peu l'anglais, mais bon, je peux pas répondre aux participants en anglais.
Mais si vous répondez en français, on pourra traduire pour vous, pas de souci.
Ok.
Donc, so this is the download section where you can download all the documents. This is the archiving of everything that was presented since the beginning, all the trainings that happened in the central region, western region, the agenda, the report of the workshop, and the list of participants. So here, if you need any document on past events, just try to look here. All these documents are here in English and French, were available. Then here, the webinar schedule. So this is today. Tomorrow we have the French session for the AFDB, the bank. And then next week we're having the these sessions on electricity, ACAS, etc. So, and the Zoom links and passwords are always there. If for those who missed, for your colleagues who missed this, any of these sessions, you can go to past webinars here and you can listen to this conversation. By the way, all the webinars are recorded, including this one. And tonight, tomorrow morning, it will be posted. And if any of your colleagues missed, they can go here and listen to the recording. Now, this is a query section. So if you click on this, you can send us a question anytime. You can send us a message, a question, a query. It will reach us immediately and then we'll respond. This is the most important, the core of the website is here, which is the proposed project. But before going here, we will look at the list of registered users. So if you go here, when you log in, you will see your name. And under registered users, I've clicked on the VPIC African Union website. Sorry about this. Okay. Okay, so this is the list of the 217 people who are registered to date. And at the bottom here, you can actually click to see all of them. So if you click all, this is the full list. There's a filter. So you can filter by country. And currently we have around 43 countries registered only out of the 55 countries, only 43. Then by region, you can also filter by rec and by access level. So let me explain the access levels. So the public level is actually for private sector people, non-official, non-focal points. It's like the homepage access only. Then the first level of access is sectoral, 116 people in this category. So here we have the experts, we have the users from countries, but not official focal points, non-official focal points. And then we have the official focal points. And in some cases, some recs have asked us to give national focal point access to these official focal points, which means they have the right to submit projects. To be able to submit a project, you need at least the national focal point. Then you can submit projects in any region, any across Africa. Then the highest level is the REC focal point. We have today 18 across Africa. In the case of COMESA, as I mentioned, the four focal points of COMESA, Director Mutabazi, Malama, Leonard and Leonard Chintundu, these are the four, and all four have a REC focal point. And what we've done also, we've allowed a lot of flexibility. So any of you COMESA REC focal point can actually appoint people to the same level as you. So you can appoint more focal points in COMESA. You can upgrade anyone in your REC to national focal point, etc. So there's a large, this can be managed, but if you want us to manage this is also fine. You just need to send a mail, tell us, please upgrade this person because he needs to send a project. And the process is, it's bottom up. So it's country ownership. So all these projects need to have strong country ownership. So countries submit projects, but the top down, which is the regional integration dimension, is that the project must either, as we said earlier, either be part of a master plan, REC master plan, or have a strong documented agreement between participating countries, even at this stage. Why? Because as was mentioned yesterday by the African Development Bank, this is also one of their main criteria, because they do not consider they do not try to analyze projects if there is no firm commitment, because ultimately, as I was explained yesterday again, projects are not implemented within RECs but by countries. Unless countries are prepared to take a loan, to commit, give guarantees, etc., there is no project. So this is why country ownership is very important. So if we look at COMESA here, if you click here on COMESA, today we have 46 people registered from COMESA, actually one of the highest of the SADC. So if you click here on COMESA, these are the 46 members from COMESA. You can actually then filter. You can filter by country, you can filter by organization, etc. So let's say we filter by country. Let me see whether, yeah. So right now we have, reverse alphabetical. So Zimbabwe, we have three persons with national focal point. Zambia, we have quite a number. But Zambia, be careful. Zambia, actually, the COMESA people also classified as Zambia. So Zambia has a lot because of COMESA. So if we remove the four, we only have two. We only have one or two from Zambia. Dorcas and Simbua, Miss Simbua from Zambia. And then we have Uganda, one person. Tunisia, we have one person. Sudan, two persons. Seychelles, one person. Rwanda, we have two persons, three persons actually. Malawi, three. Madagascar, one. Ethiopia, two. Eswatini, quite a number. And two, three, four, five. Egypt, we have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, around ten. DRC, we have four. Comoro, we have two. Burundi, three. Okay, so that a bit answers your question, Director. We have I didn't count it, but we have quite a few of the countries, the COMESA countries, are represented there. Probably, yeah. Now, if we look at the as I said, the REC focal point, you will see here Leonard Chintundu has REC. So four people have REC. The others have either the experts or have sector role, but many of the we have allocated national focal point to many of the people. When we know that two people in the same sector are registered, we usually try to find out who is the official focal point. So that person is given national, and the assistant is given sectoral, just to try to maintain a kind of structure, so that otherwise you can have too many people trying to input projects and duplication and all that. So there has to be hierarchy, which is very important. And the ultimate hierarchy, the ultimate actually requirement in terms of hierarchy, in terms of regional integration, is any project submitted within the REC, through the REC, has to be validated. So those who have REC focal points, when they register, they will, when they click on a project, we'll go to the projects now, they will see a button on the right called validate. So, and if you go to the homepage, and if you go here in registered users, by clicking on your name, you will see, if you read these four levels, these levels are here, actually, on top here. So when you log in, you will see this, the four levels of access, and it says that once you click the validate button, you cannot change it unless you ask us to reactivate the project. If it's locked, we assume that the member state is happy, has finished the data entry, the REC is happy, has finished the data entry, and then we can proceed with the project. So now let's look at the actual projects here. So here you will see under proposed projects. Okay, so here are, to date we have 58 projects. So it only displays 10 of them. If you want to see all, you just click all here. 400. So these are the list of 58 projects. And again, if you apply the filter, you will see there are 19 in energy, etc. So this is the regional. So today, central region has 14, eastern has 14, northern has 2, southern has 16, and western has 20. And REC-wise, this is the allocation of projects from REC. COMESA has 9. And ECOWAS has 21 here. Okay. So and yeah, ECOWAS has 21 projects, but COMESA has only 9. So if we click on COMESA, this is the list of 9 projects from COMESA. So you will see there's a color coding. There's a color coding in the projects. So projects which are brown, light brown like this, or dwarfed. We'll show you what it means, dwarfed. Means that some of the mandatory fields are not complete. So if you just put a title, it will appear here, but it will appear as dwarfed here with a dwarf note here. Then once you complete all the mandatory fields, the project becomes gray. One of these shades of gray here, which means that the project is complete now. I see somebody has raised hands. So maybe yes, Dr. Ferry, what go on? We'll listen to you as maybe it's a question related to what we're talking now. Go on.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
In fact, in each project, I think options are, comments are provided to make sure that the projects are properly owned by concerned countries, right? So I assume that the moderation step for these comments does not include censorship. So all I'm saying is we expressed our concern in writing and on the online form to express our concern on this particular project, but now I can see it to be validated, which for some.
Yes,
I think we need explanation for that.
Yeah, Dr. Ferryworth, yes, we have taken have acknowledged receipt of the comment, and as you say, there's a moderation step, but we will definitely reply to you, that is sure. And what I can say in general for any type of project, let me maybe explain this comment function, this discussion forum function. The aim of this was not to raise actually objections to project. And that is not, I don't think, because I don't think that this platform, the aim was to raise objections. It was to enable to facilitate dialogue, because we realize in these lockdown periods, we have...
Exactly, to facilitate dialogue. Yes. But dialogue is not facilitated in this particular case.
Doctor, please bear with me. We will reply to you. Maybe we can have a separate call on this issue. I think it may not interest all members, but we, as I told you, I acknowledge receipt that we are in moderating your request, and it will be, we will reply to you as soon as we have an answer for that. But coming back to what I was trying to explain is that you will see, for example, the experts, Mr. Engeda, Jonas has also started now to post very technical comments. So they have gone through some of these projects, and based on the experience of the project, of the region, or of the criteria actually, because they also studied the criteria. So in some cases, they have found out that there may be missing information. There may be gaps actually, or relevant information that didn't appear. I remember a case where, for example, the regional dimension was not, although the project was regional and the owners know it's regional, maybe the REC knows it's regional, but it doesn't appear actually. When you read the document submitted, nowhere is it very clear. So then we tend to guide you. So this is just value addition, quality assurance, that we're trying to improve the quality of the projects. But again, I insist, it is at this stage, it is very clear, actually, we have very, very clear directives from the task force and all that about this. At this stage, we do not actually, it's not in our mandate. I, or even the peer reviewing, this group here has no, it does not have the mandate to either accept or reject projects. That, the projects, to, in a nutshell, projects as long as they are complete. So we have no judgment at this stage on projects. It's the task force who has this, who has been mandated actually just to process. And after the task force, it's the STC that will take the final decision on upon the recommendations of the task force. So please, let's try to use the platform to fill the gaps, to improve the quality of projects, but not to try to prevent a project from being submitted. Okay, I think it's in any case, if the task force finds out that for whatever reason that any project doesn't meet any of the criteria, the eligibility criteria or whatever, then that decision will be taken by the task force at a later stage. So please, let's try to use this platform as our colleagues, consult experts have been doing. Thank you for this, Angeda and Jonas. And we hope that for the transport and ICT sectors, we also get inputs from Dr. Dafala and Gilbert Maiti. Okay, so I was saying that the color coding, so these are the two colors. The third color is the green color, and you will see there's only one, as soon as the rec clicks, so when a project is considered complete in the sense that there's no additional information to be input, then the rec decides to validate the project. And as I said, the validation by the rec is at their level, so it's a first level of confirmation that this project should be considered by the task force, but the ultimate screening, decision, etc., I think it's the task force that has been mandated for this. So in this case, you will see there are only 9 projects. And as our colleague Abdu was saying earlier, there's no limit. At the rec level, there is absolutely no limit. Just to give you an indication, our colleagues from ECOWAS indicated 50 projects. They have 50 projects in their pipeline. I think colleagues from IGAD indicated that they intend to submit, because they presented their master plan recently, around 20 projects. They have identified around 20 projects to be submitted. So I think there's room for especially since COMESA actually cuts across four regions, I think there's an opportunity to look into your master plans and look at the strategic projects. So again, now we need to look at the criteria. So what is different? What is different in now is that PIDAPAP 2 has a selection criteria. It has a regional corridor approach, integrated corridor approach. And yesterday, I think Mike Salao said something very important. He announced that the NEPAD IPPF, which provides grant funding, has now set itself a target for 75% of their grants to go towards PIDAPAP 2 projects. So you can always apply to NEPAD IPPF outside PIDAPAP 2, that is from your master plan. But because there is now this threshold of 75% funding should go towards PIDAPAP 2, and the criteria of PIDAPAP 2 are so aligned actually to those of NEPAD IPPF in terms of economic impact, etc., I think it makes very good sense to try to maximize, try to bring out, extract actually, in the light of what is relevant today, those projects from your master plan, even PIDAPAP 1 projects, which are still relevant, haven't haven't moved or can now move or will now move. Another dimension which there are many live discussions is about this COVID pandemic and post-COVID recovery. So as was discussed yesterday also with the bank, decisions to invest may be influenced by this limited fiscal space from member states, from countries. But on the other hand, what we also see is that the economic recovery of Africa is probably linked to trade, actually intra-African trade. And I know COMESA is one of the pioneers in terms of regional trade, regional integration. It's a huge success story, actually, very early success story with COMESA, with large manufacturing countries such as Egypt. And so I think the role of infrastructure in trade facilitation, one-stop border posts, etc., is now very well understood and it's very clear-cut. So I think one of the ways to accelerate the recovery, the post-COVID, post-pandemic recovery, is to actually fast-track the AFCFTA and boost trade, and also look at these development corridors, which are the integrated development corridors, including the industrialization dimension, because to trade you need goods. Actually, you can trade services, but then ultimately Africa is a lot about basic commodities, food, medical supplies now, and all that. So I think that is the introduction. But then maybe let me now try to zoom into one of these, one of the projects, and then you will see there's some seeds actually in eastern region in COMESA. You have, I think there's Comoro, Madagascar, Mauritius, and Seychelles are all part of COMESA. So they have that. These projects from the seeds are outside the quota. It will not be in the region quota, it will be a seeds quota, separate. So these countries have the right to submit. For now, only Comoro has responded, and Madagascar. We have projects from Comoro and Madagascar, but nothing yet from Seychelles and Mauritius. Somebody, yeah, Taraben. I think Dr. Ben Omar wants to intervene. Go on, doctor. On vous écoute.
Oui, Krishna, vous m'attendez?
Oui, je vous entends, allez-y.
Bon, en fait, j'ai deux questions là que je voulais. Bon, je voulais d'abord que vous m'éclairiez un petit peu le point focal régional, le point focal national et le point focal sectoriel. Quels sont leurs rôles et leurs relations entre ces trois points focaux? Et puis, bon, voilà, la deuxième question, bon, c'est spécifiquement dans du projet. C'est un projet type comorien qui est censé mettre les îles Comores en liaison entre elles. Vu le problème et le manque de moyens de transport, bon. Et puis par rapport à ce projet, on a évalué, on dit que bon, si on arrive à mettre en place ce genre de projet, peut-être on va développer certains secteurs. Effectivement, c'est un projet qu'on devrait s'associer avec Madagascar et les autres pays de la région, mais comme vu que les relations entre ces pays de la sous-région, de l'océan Indien, n'est pas vraiment bon, une relation qui réfléchit dans le sens économique. Et puis, on ne s'assoit pas ensemble pour en discuter. Je pense que quand on est à Malabo, la première chose, on s'est mis d'accord, il faut que tous les pays de la sous-région, de l'océan Indien, tout ça, on se voit, on discute comment on peut réfléchir un projet d'ensemble. C'est ça ce qui n'a pas été fait. C'est okay. Pourquoi nous, les Comores, on a pensé avoir un projet spécifique aux Comores qui peuvent mettre les îles en liaison entre elles. Donc voilà, Krishna, ma question.
Ok, merci, docteur. I will reply in French because it's mostly concerns Comoro, and then actually it's a translation of what I just explained to you earlier about the access rights. Donc en fait, pour les Comores, merci pour votre projet déjà. Hein. Je crois que c'est une très bonne initiative. Même si les autres îles ne répondent à ce stade, en fait, ne participent pas trop. Mais le fait d'avoir déjà soumis ce projet, je crois que c'est un point d'entrée important. Et peut-être que dans la phase d'étude du projet, Le consultant va éventuellement voir comment intégrer les autres îles et tout. Surtout que le projet concerne le tourisme, en fait. J'ai regardé le projet, c'est un projet très, très, moi-même, je trouve intéressant. Donc, revenons sur les droits d'accès. Alors, c'est très simple, en fait. Les REC focal points ne concernent que les REC, que les CER. Les États membres n'ont pas droit aux REC focal points. Donc, ça ne concerne que dans ce cas-ci, que les quatre personnes que j'ai mentionnées, le directeur, Léona, Béna et Malama. Voilà. Donc, c'est eux qui vont faire la validation. C'est eux qui ont le droit de, par exemple, de coordonner avec vous et de vous autoriser, d'ailleurs même de vous élever, d'élever votre droit d'accès à un niveau plus élevé que vous puissiez entrer des projets. Au niveau des pays maintenant, au niveau des États membres, il n'y a que deux niveaux d'accès. Le niveau basique, le niveau d'entrée, je dirais, c'est le niveau qui vous permet de voir tout ce qu'on voit là. En fait, ça donne une visibilité totale de tous les projets. Vous pouvez rentrer dans les projets, lire les projets, mettre les commentaires dans la plateforme de discussion, participer aux discussions actuelles, participer même aux discussions. Mais vous ne pouvez pas rajouter de nouveaux projets. OK, donc si vous voyez, moi là, je suis inscrit en fait comme administrateur. Donc en bas là, vous voyez « Add new projects ». Donc et dans votre cas, si vous connectez comme un sectoral, ben ce bouton ne va même pas apparaître, vous n'allez pas le voir. Donc en fonction de votre droit d'accès, les boutons, les actions pertinentes sont affichées. Maintenant, plus haut que le sectoral, donc les points focaux officiels ont un droit d'accès qui leur permet de soumettre. C'est ce qu'on appelle le National Focal Point. Et là encore, ça varie. Parce que dans certains cas, par exemple, dans le cas de la CDAO, ECOWAS, où la CDAO a pris vraiment un rôle très, très, je dirais, hiérarchique, très centralisé, c'est eux qui font toute la saisie de données et c'est eux qui coordinent avec les États membres. Par exemple, eux, ils nous ont spécifiquement demandé ne donner à personne le droit de national, c'est eux qui vont au cas par cas le faire, ou bien c'est eux qui vont vraiment faire la saisie de données eux-mêmes à partir de leur plan directeur. Dans le cas de la SADC, eux, ils nous ont dit au contraire qu'ils préfèrent le country ownership, c'est-à-dire l'appropriation des projets. Donc, ils préfèrent que tous les membres, points focaux, soient points nationaux, et ils vont ensuite valider ce projet ou dialoguer avec ces points focaux pour s'assurer du caractère régional et valider les projets. Voilà, je crois que j'ai expliqué en fait en français pour ce que j'avais dit auparavant en anglais. Et concernant le projet de cabotage, de liaison inter-île, je crois que c'est une très bonne initiative, mais soumettez-le et si il pourra être amélioré plus tard. Et je rajouterai que dans le cas des îles, des pays petits états insulaires, il n'y a pas vraiment de critères parce que les critères ne s'appliquent pas. Donc, c'est beaucoup plus facile de soumettre un projet, même si ça ne répond pas aux critères régionaux. OK? Yes, go on. Maybe introduce yourself, who's speaking, and then you.
This is Christine.
Yes, Christine.
Yeah, so just to add on the Madagascar case of this project, maybe I can shift in French so that...
Allez-y, Christine. Maybe English, I don't know. Maybe both, actually. You should do both because most of the people are English speaking.
Just to add more on the questions in French so that I... Okay. So the project is... I constantly have a feedback from the transport minister that said, and then the project was accepted at the minister of the transport, but now to get the approval, the formal approval, it takes time. So what's the national focal point in transport said, she's waiting the formal approval before submitting this project on the linked cabotage between the islands.
Yeah.
So only this approval is taking times. So that's what I'd like to add.
But I think this is a special case, Christine, because first of all, I think it was through SADC. It's in the SADC master plan. And second, we discussed earlier we think that it should be in the SEEDS quota and not in the SADC quota. So I think that project, and unless there is an issue at the country level, that I can see no issue with this project, it will go through. So once it's clear at country level, it can go through as a SEEDS project, that's fine. Donc peut-être pour rapidement en français, ce qu'on disait, c'est que le projet de MADA sur l'eau, le canal à travers Tana, tout ça, et c'est un projet en fait dans le plan directeur de la SADC, mais on avait discuté auparavant qu'on va le considérer comme un projet SEEDS des États insulaires. Donc aussi longtemps que le projet est validé au niveau local par les autorités, il n'y a pas de souci, ça va qualifier comme un projet SEEDS et aller dans le pipeline. Okay, so maybe now let us maybe drill into one of the projects. Let's take this one, the standard gauge rail connecting Ethiopia and Sudan. So by clicking here, you will see actually the three parts of the project. So one is the standard gauge rail connecting. This is the title, the sector, subsector, the member states. So in this case, Ethiopia and Sudan. So two member states minimum are needed. As soon as you have two member states, it's a regional project. East Africa, and the beneficiary countries are the surrounding countries, because they will also benefit from this link. And this is an important point, actually. So the member states submitting the projects are Ethiopia and Sudan, but the other countries, these surrounding countries, the region will benefit. And it's also important to document this. So if you look in the actual documentation, so this is the source, it's in the REC master plan. So the COMESA master plan, and then you will see description of the project, the objectives. In this case, they even uploaded a map. So this is the map which shows how this link will service Chad, South Sudan, etc., Ethiopia. And then you will see, further maps. Again, you will see then the technical specifications, the market size, and this is where, this is the economic justification, actually. And this, I must say, this is a very, very well, this is a well-documented project, for example. This is a good example of a project that is well-documented. And maybe our colleague Gilbert, since it is in English, could go through this and give us his views. And if you think the views, if you want to communicate directly, also that also is possible. If you don't want to post a comment, you can also communicate directly. I will show you where the contacts are. So then the project cost, estimated cost, any gender action, and the feasibility stage. So the contacts are the third section here, project contacts. So this was submitted by Ms. Enyas from Sudan. And the additional contact is again from Sudan. So in this case, you have two contacts. And this project now needs to be validated. So, let me go back here. COMESA. So in this case, actually, maybe it's not even I'm not sure. I don't know whether it's a COMESA. Maybe it's an EAC or IGAD, or because it has so many. So this is the case where there are so many RECs concerned. But let's take a pure COMESA. Okay, this one, a pure COMESA project would be this one, regional cross-border link. Because this is only COMESA is indicated as the REC. So in this case, this is an ICT project with a fiber optic link. And in this case also fairly well documented, although a bit short. I'm wondering whether this is one of the projects which was submitted during training. We will check this. And anybody online who was involved in this submitting this project? Actually, we can actually go and see who. So we have these two names here, Engineer Noura and Engineer Mohamed El Hadj. I think this is one of the projects that was, but this is also where Director Mutabazi, this is where we need to do some I would say cleaning of the database. And it's very important at this stage that Comesa runs through this list and starts analyzing the projects, those which can be validated, but should be validated. Those who are no longer relevant, if you don't want to submit, these projects will not be submitted finally. You as the REC focal points have the right just to delete the project. Or you can inform us and then we will hide it from the database. So, yeah, so this is the process. And then you will see the one last thing we need to see is the actual submission form. So here in the menu, so this is the form. This is the only way to submit projects. So the first step is title, then select the sector. Depending on what you select here, the subsectors will appear. If in the case of water, for example, or actually in any case, if your subsector doesn't fit in any of these existing subsectors, you can always click other and type what is the new subsector you're trying to input. Member states participating, you click on this pick list. Beneficiary countries, same thing. You click on the pick list here. Just pick the countries. And then you click the RECs. So you can click multiple RECs. And then you click the institution, if there is a project institution responsible. You save draft and you click next. Once you fill all, then only you can go to the next step, which is the second page we showed earlier with all these details about the project. And you can also upload files. You can upload on top of the map, you can upload up to 10 megabytes of data, reports, etc. I can see Dr. Dafala has joined, but I think somebody wanted to ask a question earlier. Charlie, is there hands raised or questions in the chat box yet?
Yeah, please, I have a question.
Yes, go on, please.
Yeah. Yes, sorry, I'm Adel from Egypt. Yes,
Adel from Egypt, go on.
Yeah, under the BIDA sector, down scroll, yes, please. So I don't see tourism. I don't see tourism in the BIDA subsectors. And I raised my question before at the last webinar and no response until now. So you say you will check and respond.
No, actually, sorry about that. We checked, but it's very clear that tourism is not one of the four PIDA sectors officially.
Yes, but no. Let me review. Again, I'll say the same comment as before. In Cairo in April, in Cairo 2020, the commissioner for the African Union, Dr. Amani Abu Zaid, mentioned officially and clearly that tourism became one of the main sectors of the AU. So please review again. I think we have to review this.
Yeah. Actually, maybe the task force members connected can comment also. I think that these decisions, you know, sectors and all that, even the creation of the task force, these are all the STC decisions, the sectoral ministries decisions. But this, I think this this could be considered. Abdu, what are your views? I was not present. Anybody who was present in Cairo probably can comment on this.
Yes, for more clarification, why I'm raising these questions, because in particular, me as a focal point for tourism, now I'm preparing a tourism corridor connection between the River Nile countries, so I cannot submit the project, simply.
But again, I mean, no, wait a minute. Go on, Abdul.
Krishna.
Yeah.
Okay, tourism is a sector within the EU. That's why you have the steering committee for tourism, transport, and this thing.
Yeah.
Yes, but PIDA is an infrastructure project, and it has four sectors. That aside, if you're developing a corridor, and it's a water corridor, you don't classify it as tourism.
Classify it as a water infrastructure corridor. Let me clarify again. No, it is pure tourism on how to connect the people from the River Nile countries. It doesn't matter to be via transportation or air. So why I don't say it's air connections? Why I don't say it's road connection? It's railway connections. Many accessibilities for tourism, as you know, the norm of the tourism varied in between more accessibilities. So I cannot say water transport or whatever. No. It's tourism as it is.
Okay, maybe let us hear from Gilbert. We have a transport expert with us. Gilbert Mighty is with us. He has raised hands. Maybe Gilbert, let's hear from you. Maybe yes. That will bring some clarifications.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yes, thank you very much. Maybe I would like to put a point just like you had indicated there. Of course, if you look at the African Union and some regs like SADC, in terms of departments, they like the AU has got infrastructure and tourism, and SADC also has got infrastructure, which also includes meteorology. But from the start, when we started the NEPAD system and the NEPAD the infrastructure development, both tourism and meteorology were not included.
Yes.
And I think this is the way it has been scoped, so that at the point at PIDA level, and even at the REC infrastructure master plans, it is only the four sections which have the four sectors which have been included, which is transport, energy, ICT, and water. So we would have to revise everything to go back and include other sectors which are either in African Union or other regs that are put together or that are lumped together with infrastructure.
We'll yes,
have
sir.
To go back and review that and include them.
Please be in hurry, because the submission deadline is 30, so I cannot do it. I'm sorry for that.
But I think for just looking at, if you're looking at the Nile for tourism, then of course the Nile has got both transport, water, and energy. So if there are dams that are going to be built, if there is inland transport, we are only looking at infrastructure.
I think I don't need to force to go to some particular transportation to solve this problem. It's official. It's tourism, as I mentioned, and as I clarified before, tourism have many accessibilities.
Yes,
but by this way, I have to find some existing sector to put myself inside. No, it is not the way.
But Mr. Adel, to be honest, I think by we don't think this decision is going it will be taken by before the 30th of June. So I think, as our colleague said, unless you can identify you can tie this project, you can align it to one of the four sectors, whether air, water, transport, or whatever, then it would be difficult to submit this type of project, to be honest, because
so, it is the only solution available now, so I'll do it.
Yeah,
but
the only solution, we would suggest please try to align it to one of the four sectors and try to submit, then the task force will decide, and then that request will eventually be addressed.
Please take it urgent note, please.
Yes, we will
thank you.
There are four hands raised. Maybe Tish was next. Tish, we listen to you.
Thank you, Krishna. Indeed, according to the definition of infrastructure that we are using, we are only confined to the four sectors, the four traditional sectors. But we've also realized that we need to expand the socio-economic development of these infrastructure projects, hence the integrated corridor approach that we have put. That we have adapted, at least for now, we are going to use it to select projects. But in the implementation strategy that will accompany PIDA PAP 2, we are going to look at the cross linkages between the infrastructure corridors that will be developed under PIDA PAP 2 and other sectors as well. And this will include opportunities in industrialization, tourism, trade. So this will be expanded in the implementation strategy, and that kind of assessment will be what we are recommending, is that that kind of assessment will be done for every PIDA project.
Thank you Tish for this very very interesting perspective from Alda. We can see, I think there's Dr. Dafala who just joined. Maybe we listen to Dr. Dafala. You maybe please introduce yourself, and then you can speak, Dr. Dafala. Go up to you. Over to you.
Thank you, Krishna. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. Actually, is still on because I want to interfere in this tourism project. But at the end, our brother from Egypt has accepted that the project to be revised. That's what I want to comment on it. That all the rest, they don't have tourism in the infrastructure departments. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, maybe also you can introduce yourself as the expert for ICT, actually, because then can we call.
My name is Abu Sufyan Dafala. I am a technical assistant consultant for the African Union for the infrastructure support mechanism for the ICT sector.
Yes, and thank you, Dr. Dafala. So the other experts we heard is we've heard from Engeda, I think Jonas Yoni, we heard from him, and then Gilbert Mighty is the transport expert. So if you have queries or questions, or you need some assistance, very specific assistance in the very short term now, you can either contact them directly, or you can post a question, or if it's not confidential, if it's a public issue, then you can raise that point, and they can respond to this. I think we've listened.
Krishna,
Ben, yeah, go on.
Oops. Can I come in?
Come in. Please, go on.
Okay, fine. This is Komesa. I think I have sent questions on chat. I don't see where to put hands, but it was not answered. I have three questions when I was looking after the presentations. If I can come just now.
Please, go on.
I saw all registered focal point and RECs and so on, but I am not seeing power pools. I am looking at East African Power Pool and the Southern African Power Pool. They have also a lot of projects, many projects also there, specifically transmission line on energy. And I didn't see them. I don't know what is the response if they are a focal point from East African Power Pool and the Southern African Power Pool as well. And the second question, I just want to know, because there are a project which was in PIDA PAP 1, you should probably have more information on their status now. Are they going to be rolled out, and what will be the process? The third question is related to this validation process, specifically for overlap projects. You have seen yourself that there are some projects which are overlapping on SADC, on COMESA, ESC, and even you can even find them in the ECAS as well. How this validation will be processed, if we can get some information before we continue. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So sorry, actually, Director, because we wanted to listen to the hands raised on this live question, and then definitely we would come to the questions. But Shadi, do you have any other questions apart from these three up to now?
No, Krishna,
these three. So let us take these three questions. The first is power pools. Yes, definitely, by all means, as we said, and if you notice, there's even one project that has been submitted by EAPP. And you will see in the list of users, you will see power pools are already there. So if you,
pouvez-vous faire une petite synthèse en français, s'il vous plaît?
Oui, oui. Bon, allez, OK, en français. Donc, en fait, je disais que oui, certainement, les power pools, comme on dit ça en français, les opérateurs de transmission régionaux sont définitivement partie prenante. Donc, il y en a certains déjà qui sont enregistrés. Par exemple, on a le représentant de EAPP qui est enregistré, et il y a même un projet. Moi, j'ai vu un projet qui a été soumis. On peut aller voir le projet qui a déjà été soumis par le EAPP. Donc, si vous regardez dans, en fait, Eastern Africa, voilà. Donc, oui, donc certainement, définitivement, le. Voilà, c'est celui-là. Donc, si vous regardez ce projet de Eastern Green Power Transmission, etc., donc vous allez voir que c'est un projet, encore une fois, d'Éthiopie, Soudan, mais avec tous ces pays bénéficiaires. Et si vous regardez les contacts ici, vous allez voir, voilà, EAPP. Donc, Zalalem Geberiwot est la personne qui a soumis le projet. Donc, oui. Donc, pour répondre à votre question, pas seulement les power pools, donc les organisations, les river basins, comment on dit ça, les agences, les river basin organizations, les corridor development agencies, tout ça, ils sont tous parties prenantes, ils sont autorisés à soumettre les projets, aussi longtemps que il y a un moyen de raccrocher ce projet à un plan directeur d'un REC. Voilà. Il faut bien comprendre la hiérarchie. Donc, vous avez, les REC sont, si vous voulez, les organisations hiérarchiques d'intégration régionale. Mais sous les REC, vous pouvez avoir les power pools, les river basins, etc. Et oui, certainement, je vous ai montré un cas concret où le power pool peut soumettre le projet, mais dans ce cas, ce projet qui est dans le power pool, qui est dans le plan directeur du REC et aussi dans le plan directeur du CER. Et donc, oui, ça c'est la première partie de la question. La deuxième partie, c'était PIDAPAP 1. Oui, pour répondre à votre question, si le projet PIDAPAP 1 est toujours pertinent, c'est-à-dire que le projet n'a pas atteint un stade avancé d'études ou a toujours besoin de financement ou d'études additionnelles, certainement, vous pouvez remettre ce projet, en fait, resoumettre le projet dans PIDAPAP 2. Donc, il faudrait peut-être faire un tri, parce que comme a dit hier, on a discuté longuement sur cette question de PIDAPAP 1. Et Christine, qui est toujours là, a soulevé une question. Comment se fait-il qu'il y ait des projets PIDAPAP 1 qui sont restés 8 ans dans le pipeline? Et là, la base a répondu que, ben, tout simplement parce qu'il y a un le projet bloqué quelque part, soit au niveau du pays, soit au niveau de capacité de financement, funding gap, etc. Donc, il y a maintes raisons. Il y a beaucoup de raisons pour lesquelles un projet peut rester bloqué. Mais si vous voyez que dans votre portefeuille PIDAPAP 1, il y a certains candidats qui sont maintenant pertinents, pour diverses raisons, hein, peut-être COVID, post-COVID, ou peut-être que le cadre, le enabling environment est maintenant est prêt et mis en place, qui n'existait pas avant. Là, certainement, vous pouvez réactiver ce projet en le mettant dans le PIDAPAP 2. Maintenant, revenons à cette histoire de overlap. Alors là, il faut. En fait, c'est effectivement, je concède que des fois, ça peut être un peu pas très clair, mais en fait, c'est très très clair au niveau de si vous regardez le processus de soumission des projets. Donc, comme j'ai dit, les projets doivent forcément originer. La source des projets, c'est les États membres, les pays. Donc et il faut déjà avoir un minimum de 2 pays pour être un projet régional. Donc, une fois que vous avez cette... Ça, c'est le point de départ. 2 pays se mettent d'accord, 2, 3, 4, 10 pays tombent d'accord et sont d'accord pour faire un projet qui est d'intérêt commun, d'intérêt régional, d'intégration, etc. Ensuite, il faut voir dans quel REC ce projet se situe, c'est-à-dire dans quel... Master plan, dans quel plan directeur de REP ce projet est répertorié et est identifié et priorisé. Ça, c'est la deuxième. Et c'est ce REC-là qui va soumettre, qui va valider le projet. Okay? Et il n'y a pas de limite. Chaque REC peut se soumettre. Ça. Oui. Yes, Abdou?
This is supposed to be an English session.
I know, but Mr. Bernard asked for a French, so, and we didn't do a... So I will, don't worry, I will summarize in English for you later.
No, there are some of the participants who are complaining already.
Okay, I agree. Docteur, monsieur directeur, est-ce que je peux, c'était assez clair, donc je vais revenir en anglais parce que les participants ne comprennent pas.
Okay, bon, il n'y a pas de souci. Hein.
Pardon? Ça suffit, oui. Okay, so I'll summarize in English. So the first question was about power pools, river basins, etc. So the answer is yes. All these organizations are eligible to submit projects as long as the projects can be tied to a REC and in a REC master plan or with agreement between countries. The second was PIDAPAP 1. So the answer is if the project from PIDAPAP 1 is still relevant because now the whatever bottlenecks were previously have been lifted, for example, if there is an enabling environment, if the countries now agree, or if the big funding gap, which is now no longer relevant, then yes, definitely, please, you can submit the PIDAPAP 1 project into the PIDAPAP 2 pipeline to kind of reprioritize it along the new selection criteria and make it a priority. The third was about overlapping. So as I explained, projects originate in member states. This is mandatory. Minimum two member states are needed. Then the next step you need to decide which REC will support this. So which REC has this project in their master plan? This is the REC which is going to validate. There is no limit per REC. Any RECs can submit any number of projects, but at the region level, so this is the big difference between REC and region. At the region level, only 10, the 10 best will be selected. So you already realize there is a competition, a kind of a competition among RECs within regions to get into the top 10. Let's take a concrete example. If in Eastern Africa, you have 21 from, let's say 20 projects from IGAD, you have maybe 15, 20 from COMESA and others from EAC, then out of these 40, the top 10 will make it to the shortlist, but the others will remain in the reserve list. Because the top 10 will then be the one which have demonstrated the highest alignment to the criteria and receive immediate attention in terms of funding and studies and all that. I hope that answers the question.
Thanks, Krishna. I still have one small question.
Go on. Please go on with your question.
You have a project in master plan. For instance, let's take COMESA, which is overlapping in the north, south, and even some east. So it means project, you find it in the master plan or in COMESA, we find it in SADC, you also find it in ESC, which means maybe to find a solution, the one who has submitted that project, it's just a question of validating. That project, you can find it in COMESA, you'll find it in SADC, you'll find it as well in ESC due to overlapping or membership overlapping. So now questions, when we reach 30 June, it means these projects need to be validated. It means there is someone who has submitted it. You can see it is in our master plan. But do we have really that right immediately to validate it while the person who has submitted really didn't contact? It's just a question of seeing how we can facilitate this validation come the day, the deadline of the date. This was one of the questions. And then now, about the number of projects per region, same question also comes. We have a project, let's say, for instance, this VicMed project. This VicMed project is going to North Sudan. Let's take Sudan and Egypt. We find them in North region. And then you have also Eastern region, Eastern Central region, where you find the DRC, we find Kenya, Rwanda, Uganda, and so on. How do you countabilize this project? Is it in the north? Is it in the east? Is it in the central? Can you please help us to understand this? Thank you.
Okay, that's a very, very good question, Director. Thank you for this. Actually, there are 8 projects. I can show you in the database. You can also see, actually, if you go in the filter, if you see like all the projects and you filter, you will see, looking at the numbers, there are 8 projects that cut across 2 regions. So your question is very relevant. In which quota? Where is it accounted for? And because this question has cropped up earlier in trainings and the task force and all that, and the answer which we've always given is that this decision of quota and all that will be taken by the task force. And one of the solutions which was mentioned is that these projects, which are by a sense pan-African, cut across regions, will be treated in a separate category called the, I would say, inter-regional or pan-African projects, which will not affect the region quota. So that is how it will be treated. But in any case, as I always said, that decision, again, it will be reviewed by the task force. And the ultimate decision is the STC. So task force will report and say, this is the situation we have. And the STC will take that decision of. So we may end up with 50 plus the Pan-African plus the SEEDS project. The other part of your question is, if a project appears in 3 master plans, who validates? I think you gave the answer already, actually. You mentioned a dialogue. So it depends on who the member state is talking to. So if the member state is already actively engaged with one, let's say with COMESA, talking about this project and seeking clarification, then, and if they ask you to validate it as the work, then yes, go ahead, you can validate it. So I think that my view is that is the approach. Maybe task force members, do you want to add something?
Let's move on. It's okay.
Okay, good. Okay, so any hands raised? Charlie, or questions in the chat box?
Oh, Chris?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, he's gone. Please introduce yourself.
Maybe a bit belated, but in terms of this concept that we had, if you look at the Eastern and Southern Africa region, which will be two regions because you have East and South, the four eggs, IGAD, EAC, COMESA, and SADC, have a tripartite arrangement, which actually I think meets and among the experts, the sector experts, the approach was for them to consult and through the concept of subsidiarity, look at who is the best place to handle the specific project.
Yes, that's a very good point, Ribea. So Ribea mentioned about this tripartite agreement among these RECs, and I think this is a very, very sensible, very common sense approach. Who has the best expertise, let them handle it. And this again, what I said earlier, I mean, whoever you are talking to would, I assume, be probably the most appropriate expert or contact for this project, for this sector. And then you can go ahead and liaise with that rec and help them validate the project.
But the rec experts should also talk to each other and know who is handling what. And if one requires some information, they can share that information among themselves because they know each other.
Yes. And in the case of, for example, the Eastern Region webinar on 24th of June, both RECs will be on board, so EAC, IGAD will be on board, will participate, which will be the opportunity to actually do these coordination, actually. If there's a need to coordinate on specific projects, that can happen during that webinar. For example, the final validation, actually. Suppose a project is already there, and then you need to decide who validates, then they can take that decision on the 25th. Dr. Silly Tiny wants to intervene. Go on, Dr.
Yes, just a question. Mm-hmm. Regarding the interrelation between the RECs, when a REC is involved in a project from the start, for example, COMESA here is totally coordinating the project from its very start. Mm-hmm. So it is already the entity that can validate it because it is born with COMESA, this project, and it is following all the steps. So my question now, because this is to underline what's regarding the RECs.
So what is the question, Doctor? We didn't understand. What is exactly?
Yeah. Is it a necessity to go through all the RECs when you have already a project that
is not affiliated by
a certain REC?
Not at all, actually. If your project, if you have a project that was created by a REC, and you've always talked to this REC, there's absolutely no need to talk to other RECs. You can go on and validate your project. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Krishna.
So any hands raised? I think some people may have left because we didn't listen to them and they may have left already. Shali, any pending questions in the box?
Yes, Krishna. There's a question from Imani Khalili asking, should we choose the REC of the member states or of the beneficiary countries?
No, actually, I think we should choose the REC of the member state submitting the project. The owners, actually, the member states are the countries, the main countries who own the project, who will probably commit, that is, take loans to implement the project. But I would think we need to focus on the RECs of the member states rather than the beneficiary countries.
Yes, Krishna, and that's all in the chat box.
Okay, so I think if there are no other questions, we should move to the last item on the agenda, which is the proposed new projects. Maybe Director Jean-Baptiste, do you have any, maybe you can guide us on this part. What is the plan? What are the plans of COMESA in terms of new projects, other projects other than those already submitted here? What new projects in which sectors? Maybe we can have this discussion now.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Krishna. I think what we have done in COMESA, I said it at the beginning, when we saw that the date was approaching, we decided to write to member states, COMESA member states, just reminding them to add to submit project, and we give them two options. They can submit them directly through their national focal person, or if they wish, they can submit them through COMESA. As it was said, there is no limit at this stage now. What we can do also, we have our list of master plan of projects which are there. We are going to compare with what is already submitted and see if there is a project. Because as I said earlier, we have some projects which are overlapping in COMESA ESC. We can see, for instance, Zabona on Zambezi River. So we find it in SADC, we find it in COMESA, and other projects which are also on ESC. So we will look at the project we have in our master plan. We see what has been submitted by AVAREC. If we find that there are some projects which are remaining, which are not have not been submitted, we can submit them. The only problem we are facing sometimes is those projects have been there for long, and even people who have submitted it may no longer be there in the ministry. So we need to get updated that information on that one. That's why I was raising the issue of rolling out projects which were there in PDAPAP 1, specifically if we have additional information on their status. This is what I can say as of now. We look at projects which have been submitted. We wait member states because we have given them data up to 20 June. If they want to submit it through COMESA, they can submit it on 20 June so that we have time, 10 days to submit their project. If they want to go through COMESA, if they go directly themselves, it is fine. We will look at by 25th, 26th, and 29th, see which projects have already been submitted and validated. This is what I can say as of now.
Thank you, Mr. Jean-Baptiste. I think this is a very good approach. Thank you for informing us about this approach. So basically, you will relook at your master plan and look at the website to see what has already been submitted out of these, and identify potential projects which can be extracted from the master plan and input. But then coming to this question of old project, actually, there was a very interesting discussion by Mike Salawu yesterday, actually. And he said that, you know, this PIDA is the priority project. This PIDA is supposed to be out of all the projects, list of priority projects. So the name, Priority Action Plan, PAP. But then he said, if really a project is a priority for a country, how can it remain for X number of years in a dormant state, in a stuck? How can it be blocked if it's really a priority? So probably it's not a priority, or maybe it's a very, very significant problem that needs time to address. So he gave an example, for example, the enabling environment, the regulatory framework, the laws, etc. All these take time. So I think that in that algorithm, in that process where you screen your master plan, you eliminate those that are already on the website, and then you shortlist maybe you a list potential candidates to be submitted. Then I think the next questions, and if you look at the PowerPoint on the website from AFDB, they have this algorithm. They ask these questions, these tough questions, you know. Is this project still relevant? Okay, beyond the other problem you mentioned about whether the project owner is still there or not, that is still another problem. But then even before that, you should then raise the question, is the project ready in terms of enabling environment, the regulatory framework, the laws, etc.? If not, then maybe it's no use actually, because if the regulatory environment it takes a few years to implement, definitely this project is not a priority. You can still submit, it can end up in the reserve list to be done over the next 10 years. Because don't forget the time frame is 10 years. So anything which you think could materialize, could be implemented over the next 10 years would be relevant. I think that's the other criteria. The other way of looking at it is which of these projects in your master plan, which may for some reason be stuck, may not have moved, yeah, but which have a chance of moving in the short to medium term. Does that answer your question, Mr. Jean-Baptiste?
It's okay. I think I didn't ask the question on that one. I was just telling you the process you're going to use. But the question, already you have discussed it, which was related to on rolling up PDAPAP 1 to PDAPAP 2.
Yeah. So we take note actually of the deadline of 20th of June you gave to the member states. But even before that, actually, I would even suggest that if you do your internal process now of the master plan, if you see opportunities, we are here to assist, the experts are here to assist, these four sectoral experts. Please don't hesitate to come to get in touch with us. If you have questions, queries, maybe we can initiate a small discussion around one or two of these projects, and then the experts can give their views, we can contribute, and then try to zoom to figure out, you know, how to submit, if ever you need to submit or not this project. Dr. Dafala wants to intervene. Go on.
At the end, really the most important is the ownership of project. The project will move once they are really owned by owners, member state. So that's why we are insisting that project be submitted by the member state. And they are the one also who have really the final information. You see, we have a project, but we have fee information at REC level. The more information the state are at the member state level, except for some projects which have been, like VicMed, for instance, a project we have been following since the beginning and so on. But there are some other projects when there is a feasibility study, they have been done by member state. I can give you an example for interconnection between Sudan and Ethiopia. I think really they have more data. They have even done all the feasibility study. I think they are now at the stage of looking for funding. Last time I discussed with someone from Ethiopia, was saying that they are looking for funding at African Development Bank at ADB level. So you see, they had already all those data, which at the REC level we don't have. So which means we do insist that it is really very more important for all projects to be really submitted by member states, because the data you are asking, they are the one who have more information. Thank you.
Thank you for this very important point about country ownership. Dr. Dafala wants to intervene.
Thank you. I just want to support your proposal that I think for the REC, so that we do it the screening and the selection properly and in good time. Each REC can do it. Then we have a webinar for the REC. Even as we do our exercise, then we come and we have the webinar with the REC, and then we decide on which project to be shortlisted for BIDAPAP2. That will be easy, and we have also consensus with the REC and then the things will go on faster than just to have all of them submitting at the end, this and that. Whatever there is a REC ready, we can discuss at any time. Consultants and the REC and the AUC people on the task force.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Dafala. Yes, actually, this is good. The timing is a bit tight, but feasible. So if you receive, Mr. Jean-Baptiste, if you receive all these replies from the for your member states before by the 20th of June, and you have a few days to compile them to analyze them, then on the 24th, actually, the webinar Dr. Dafala is mentioning would be the 24th. Actually, we have the opportunity on the 24th to look at this list, and if need be, to coordinate with EAC, which will also be present, and IGAD. So all the other RECs would also be present. It's for the whole eastern region, and then we can really focus on the eastern region on that list, and then you would have one more week to submit, go on and submit the project and agree who submits, will give the rights to the appropriate member state national focal points to submit.
Question, Krishna.
Yeah.
What is your interaction with national focal point? How do you interact with them? Are you giving them an update regularly to see if they can submit? Well, I can say you know you have initiated this one, you have even had them registered. How do you interact with them? Because for us, we took the initiative. Let's write it to member state, remind them of the deadline. Well, and on the national workshop, how do you interact with them? Thank you.
Okay, so up till now, the interaction of these members with all member states, with the national focal points, country focal points, has been through mailings. So initially the mailings for them to register, then the mailings for them to submit projects, invitations to these webinars where everybody hears about these deadlines, and we go much, much deeper into the technical discussions of how to submit, etc. But you're right, actually, a mailing a dedicated mailing reminding them of the deadlines would be helpful. So I will do this, a general mailing. Maybe to give a report, a general review of the situation in terms of projects, analysis per sector, per rec, per region, etc. I can compile a short report and circulate this. That's a good suggestion. But on the other hand, I also have very, very specific requests. So focal points who contact us directly, who contact us to raise very specific questions, which we then follow up on a one-to-one basis to assist them, to connect them with the experts, to answer their question, etc. So it's a two-way. When we receive on demand, we respond to the demand. Otherwise, we can sensitize, we can give the deadlines, we can give the reports and all that. So yes, both these are happening. But we will now, that's a very good suggestion. I will compile a short report and I will circulate to everybody, to all the mailing list on the situation.
This will be helpful, just reminding them. We have done it on us, but it is also important that to have those focal person just reminded on the deadline so that they know they need to submit. Look at even the different projects they can have at national level so that they can submit. Thank you.
Okay. Charlie, any question in the chat box?
No, Krishna, no question in the chat box.
Okay, so we are.
Krishna?
Yes, go on.
Krishna?
Yes, yes, go on.
Yes, I would like to also suggest, in addition to what Dr. Baptiste has said, that from the AU side, maybe we can also write a novella for all the member states to remind them about the deadline, so that, and then we attach a list of the focal points that we can follow up and ensure that they submit for the deadline. Thank you.
Thank you, Lushula. I will, that's a good suggestion, also very good suggestion, which is the other channel. So the other channel is the formal EU channel, the not verbal through the embassy and all that, reminding them of the deadline, and then that can trigger some other levels of interaction within member states and maybe make things move. Okay, that's a very good suggestion, Lushula. I will bring this up with the director at AUC. Thank you.
Kindly put us on copy when you write it to member state, because it helps us to understand what is happening. Thank you.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. Any hands raised? Two hands raised. Dr. Tiny and Gilbert. Dr. Tiny, go on. Maybe unless we've already listened to you.
No, it's just a logistical question. When I visited the website and I tried to link to open the additional documents that are featured in, we read the title of the document, but you cannot see the document. So I was asking why.
No, actually, I also had the same problem. I think it's linked to the speed of you need a good internet connection. Don't forget these documents are up to 10 megabytes. Huh? You can upload.
Not all of them. No, not all of them. Some of them are just Word documents.
But I managed to download most of the documents. If you have a good internet connection, maybe you connect when there's a good bandwidth. If you find specific problems which you can't access, let us know. But to our knowledge, I've always been able to download any attachments and save them separately.
Very good. So as long as you can do it, this is the most important thing.
No, we can.
We know them. We know them. So it's all about the other side. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank
good,
you so good.
Much.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Gilbert, Mighty. Gilbert, are you there? Or Olushula, I can see your mic is always is.
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, go on.
Can I continue?
Please,
yes,
please,
I have a
on,
question for Dr. Baptist. My question is that when you were writing to your member states, did you also write to your lake and river basin organizations so that they could submit projects? I would like to know from the commercial side. Thank you.
Basin organization. I didn't hear you very well.
River basin organizations in your reg, like the ZAMCOM, the Lake Victoria, all the river basins within your catchment of your COMESA. Did you include them? Thank you. Because if you notice when we wrote to all the focal points of the transboundary water regs, we told them to include the focal points of to include their regs for the transboundary water. So I would like to know, when you were writing to the reg to the member states, did you also write to the river and lake basin organizations within your reg? Thank you.
Thank you very much for that question. We have a protocol of writing to our member state. Generally, there are countries who said if you write to us, you write to the coordinating ministry, and then internally the coordinating ministry will send the letter to concerned institutions, organizations, or other ministries. So this is one way. There are also who have said coordinating ministry who are in general the Minister of Trade. Second way of writing, communicating with our member state, you also. They can say, write to our embassy. For instance, their country have said, no, we don't want a direct communication with the ministry in this country, but write to the embassy, which is, for instance, in Zambia or in DRC or in somewhere. It's a way of communication they have put. There are also other countries where we write directly to, for instance, to the ministry. If this is a transport project, energy project, and ICT project, you write to the Minister of Transport, Minister of Energy, and Minister of ICT, and then they coordinate internally themselves. You understand that at REC level, we cannot communicate to agencies or institutions within a country. We have a way of communicating with our member state. So to respond to your questions, I don't think there is no issue. May have even, let's say, Nile Basin organization have not written to them. We cannot have not even, there is another river organization on Zambezi, we have not written to them. So we have a way of communicating with our member state. I don't know if I respond to your question.
Yes, thank you, you did. But then I'm wondering, that means now you've written to your member states, and then let me follow up now. Since we have four sectors, does it mean that you wrote to the focal point of a country so that that country will now, the focal point of that country will now send a letter to the four sectors? I would like to know. Thank you.
Just to respond directly, for instance, on our side within COMESA infrastructure divisions, we are handling specifically on the transport, ICT, and energy. Even with, because that's why when we was submitting a project on LICMED, we went to transboundary water. We didn't find anything which was linked to that. That's why we kept it. We kept it as a transport and water transport. So this is our main. If you are talking about water transport, you are thinking on our infrastructure, about ports, about ships which will be used. These are the kind of infrastructure we are looking at. But there are some institutions which are going now in water management resources, water resource management. We really don't have in our infrastructure division here in COMESA. That's why we don't have even many activities with river agencies which are working in the COMESA region. They can just, when we are talking about logistics, transport on water, ports to be built, these are the main activity we are handling with.
Thank you. So that means you don't deal with dams or irrigation?
I am not, I don't know if others hear you, but for me, I am not following you.
Well, what was the Nile, the Nile River Basin is in Uganda.
Thank you.
No interaction with Nile River in Uganda. We don't have really interaction with them. We are working with the Minister of Transport in Uganda. This is the Minister of Energy in Uganda and Minister of ICT in Uganda. But I'm sure Nile River is under Natural Resources Ministry in Uganda, probably, or Water Ministry, I don't know. But we don't interact with them.
Okay. Thank you.
A comment.
Thank you. Go on, Gilbert. Go on. Yes, Gilbert.
Yeah. Yes, I think the communication is very important, you know, because of timelines. And of course, as a director from COMESA has indicated, there is the protocol, which says you write to the coordinating minister and all that. Now, if you do it now that way, usually it takes a very long time. But because now we have got the coordinators, country focal points, and we know them by names, it is important it would be better to use what you can call horizontal communication. And because it is actually directed to so and so, whom you can even talk to on phone. And I think when as AU, when you AUC, when you communicate with the national focal point by email, it is important. It will be useful to copy to COMESA or to the other. To the RECs, the relevant RECs. Because they can be seeing whether a response has been made, that they can also follow up at their own level, so that it becomes a communication between people who know each other and who can call each other without going through the wrong protocol. Thank you.
Yes, Gilbert. Actually, this is the case. This is always when we communicate to the whether general reminders or specific, we always try to include the relevant RECs, the relevant persons within the RECs actually, so that there is, yeah, there is this
horizontal communication.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay, I think Yoni wants to, has raised hands for some time now. Yoni, Jonas, we listen to you. Yoni is the water expert.
Yes. Thank you very much. So I understand when it comes to transport and transport, they have a red line or I don't know, but in we have
Jonas, I think there is a problem on your side. I think there's Jonas, I think we cannot hear you very well. Hello, Jonas. I think there is a problem. We can't hear you. Voice is not clear. It's breaking on our side. I think this is a connection issue on your side. Maybe if you can type something in the chat box for us, that would be helpful, because we couldn't understand what you were saying. The connection was so bad. Maybe try to type something in the box, please. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, but while you were speaking, we couldn't hear you. It was breaking. Maybe you can repeat. Go on. Now it seems better.
Yes. Okay. Let me just add to what Olushola has said. When it comes to transboundary water projects, our main source of information should be the river bathing organizations. I personally contacted an expert in Lake Chad Basin the other day, and he sent me a list of projects which are planned to be implemented around Lake Chad Basin, that is in Nigeria, Niger, Cameroon, Chad, and so on. So they have already ready-made projects. Even in Nile Basin Initiative, I'm very sure they will have ready-made projects. The other day, Mr. Fred of IGAD has sent me about 10 projects to prepare a submission in a format which is suitable for PDAPAP 2. And most of these projects are from NELSAP, or Nile Basin Initiative. So ZAMCOM also will have projects, and Congo River Bathing Commission, maybe Okavango, and so on. So I think the RECs should have a mechanism to directly communicate with these river bathing organizations to get as many projects as possible. Otherwise, if we are going to rely on national focal points, then it will take a long time, and we might never meet the deadline of 30th of June. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Inas, for this suggestion. I also think that we should, if the RECs could talk directly to the focal river basins organization, which happened in, for example, ECOWAS is doing this, then that would definitely assist to accelerate the process and get the water projects. Dr. Tahani, you raise hand again. Tahani?
Yes.
Yes. Your hand is still raised. I mean, yeah, maybe you.
Yeah, no, it is not. No, it is new.
Yeah.
It is new.
Go on.
Here, thank you. Because here, regarding the river basin organizations, we have to be very cautious, because not all RBOs include all the countries, meaning that in some RBOs, not all the riparians are in active mode or are in. So now, if you will communicate to a certain river basin organization, how can you, without and putting the countries aside, how can you ensure that the involved countries or the countries that will have effect will be is already on board. So I think that through the African Union is an entity that is having the countries themselves under them. So even if it is through a REC, the REC is representing countries, but not necessarily that the RBO is representing the country, all the countries involved. This is the point that I wanted to insist on. Thank you.
I want to add on that, Krishna.
Yes.
Already, I think I said it earlier, when river basin organization, let's say, for instance, here in Comesa, for instance, we are not really handling it. Don't expect probably on our side going to validate any project on river basin organization. If it is a transport project, yes. Well, if it is, we are working on transport, then we will handle it. But now if it comes another project, really, which is being, because we have not been interacting with them for many years. So it means on our side, we may not really be having any project. I don't know who will validate them. That's maybe some recs we are handling it, we do it. But on our side, I think I'm not expecting to see any project under river basin location being validated by COMESA. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for this clarification, Mr. Jean-Baptiste. Do we have any other? I think we have no other hands raised, no other questions in the chat box. So, colleagues, I think we've reached the end of this webinar. Many colleagues had to leave because for other meetings. So, we should end here. We will end here, unless somebody, Mr. Robatis, maybe some last concluding remarks, words from you, and then we can close.
Thank you very much. I think I just thank you for this session, which has been very interactive and which has also given some clarification on our side. I don't know how many member states were present. I would have been happy to listen to other countries, also probably Rwanda or Djibouti, but I think time is now going. I just want to thank you all and wish you bon appétit.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, you all. Thank you, all colleagues. Thank you. Commissar, colleagues.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye. See ya.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shale.
Thank you, Krishna.
Bye, Abdul.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Krishna.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shale. Thanks, Dr. Baptiste, too.
Yes, Krishna, shall I end it?
Yes, Jonas. That's Jonas.
Yes. Yes, Krishna.
What Krishna?
Hello, Krishna, can you hear me?
To Johannes.